because I want to give them a sermon. Won't that be fun?
Oh, yeah.
But in order for me to do that, there's a box on the there's a box back there on the chair, a red box. Can you bring that to me? Someone? Oh, she just gave a baby 2 weeks ago. Don't let her carry that box. You can just set it up here. Is this all right here? Does this work?
Yes.
Yeah? Cool. We've been, before I start, why don't we have, sorry. You slide right on over. Why don't we have the younger ones come up front? If you're, 12, 11 and down, come on front. Adam Vaughn, Ethan Vaughn, Cummings boys, the Dean girls. Come on. Some of you can sit on the floor. I might have to make a second row. Just come on down. Oh, thank you. Where'd that come from? God struck the rock and Dasani came out. Now that's a cool commercial idea, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. You want to sit in that seat right there? Any other children here? Steve Bruns? No, I'm just kidding. Now, I wanted to share with you actually what I've been teaching your parents. The past month or so, we've been talking about love in 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm going to read a few verses to you, and then we're going to talk about love. And this will give your parents an opportunity to review the sermons that we've had, right? And then, so we're going to review tonight, but especially for your benefit, we're going to review what we've been learning the past 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I think another thing I want to do, since the kids are up here, why don't we have the adults come this way? It'll make it easier for me. I know I'm really shaking you all up, and you're actually getting out of the row you've been sitting in for 7 years. Okay? But you can do this. You can do this. Come on. Come on. Come together. Come together. We've been praying for unity, so come together. Right? Speaking of prayer, by the way, we are encouraging people if they want to leave a prayer request. There's cards in here. There's some prayer requests in here. Come in, put a date on. Well, you don't have to put anything on it, but your prayer request. You don't have to sign it. Whatever your prayer request might be, put it in the box. People come up different days of the week, and they just take a card out and they pray. Cool idea, right? Man, we got a lot of kids here tonight. Wow! Yay! Like 800 kids. Oh, I need the microphone. The portable. Is it where? Okay. In 1 Corinthians 13, for those adults that have a Bible, you might want to open there. We're going to review tonight. And I brought a few props to help the kids understand what we've been learning. Now, I'm not really probably very creative, so you creative people like Holly and Cindy, don't make fun of me, okay? Because I'm really not good at this, but I just kind of had a few ideas, so I just grabbed some things, and they might work, they might not. I mean, you'll probably think they're dumb, but the kids might get it, right? Right, Jennifer? Jennifer already thinks I'm dumb. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, this is what Paul says love is. Are you listening? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself rudely or unseemly. Now, these are big words that I'm going to try to explain to you guys tonight, okay? Unseemly, that's a big one, isn't it? How many times have you heard that? Never. does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Now, in our study of 1 Corinthians 13, we've covered the first 7 or 8 attributes up to the point where it says, love does not seek its own. So we want to review, because we had a couple weeks off, so we want to review for everybody these sermons that we've had. Now, but I'll get electrocuted here. One of the first points I made is that love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. Now, I got some coins. Anybody here like money? Raise your hand. Oh, this kid woke up right away. Okay, now let me see what I got here. I got a quarter, so I got pennies. Let me see if any nickels or dimes here. You want some? Yeah? Okay. Just hold on. All right. Now, here's a quarter. See that? It's a real quarter. You want to hold it? Will you give it back? There's a quarter. There's a nickel. You want to hold it? Okay, and here's a penny. Ooh, that's a brand new shiny one. You want to hold it? Okay. Now, which of those is the greatest? The quarter, the nickel, or the penny?
Quarter.
Who says quarter? Raise your hand. Okay, the quarter is the greatest, right? That's because the quarter is more valuable than a nickel or a penny. It's the greatest. God says that love is the greatest. It's the most valuable. Yes.
$1,000 is more.
$1,000 is more. Yes, you're right. Very good. 2 quarters is more. 3 quarters is more. 4 quarters makes how much?
$1.
Four quarters is a dollar makes 100 pennies, right?
Yeah.
Yay! Who wants a quarter? Raise your hand. Oh! Quarter! 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 Oh, that was a penny. Sorry. Quarter! Okay, quarter! Okay, God says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, God says love is the greatest. It's the most valuable. But the most valuable what? Is it a coin?
Quarter.
No. It's the most valuable what?
Coin.
No, not the most valuable coin.
Not
it's the most valuable. I'm going to use a big word. Ready? It's the most valuable virtue. Oh, man, what's a virtue? Here. I'll try to illustrate what a virtue is. Okay, Jennifer, come here. Okay, stand right there. Now, Jennifer has blonde hair, right?
Yeah.
Is that a virtue?
Yeah.
No, sit down. Here, come here. All right, your name is?
Brendan.
Brendan or Brandon?
Brendan.
Brendan. Say it real loud.
Brendan.
You don't have it on. Come on, guys.
Brendan.
That's better. Brendan is fairly tall. Is that a virtue?
No.
Sit down, Brendan. Okay. You want to come up? Okay, your name is?
Robert.
Robert. Okay, Robert is a handsome boy. Amen? A handsome boy. Robert is dressed very cool. Is that a virtue?
Yeah.
No. Sit down, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Someone else. You want to come up? Oh, Adam Vaughn, sit down. Your name is?
Caitlin.
Caitlin what? Do you have a last name?
Bowles.
Bowles. Caitlin Bowles. Caitlin is very...
Wow, what color are those eyes?
Blue.
She has very pretty blue eyes. Is that a virtue? No, sit down, Caitlin. Alright. Hold on, we'll all get a little stage time. You're all gonna get your minute of fame, okay? Alright. Now, hold on, chill. Now, A virtue is not something like hair, pretty eyes, or nice clothes, okay? It's not something, it's like that. It's not a physical trait. It's something that is inside your heart. Right? So in that sense, a virtue is invisible. Although you can see it, as we're going to learn tonight, you can see it by how people act. Someone can be pretty, but not have love. Someone can dress really nice and not have love. Someone can be very tall and not have love, or someone can be very short and not have love. So love is not a physical thing. Love is a virtue, which means it's an attitude that's inside of your heart. It's the greatest one, God says, greater than faith and greater than love. Excuse me, greater than hope. It's also a commandment. God says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You ever hear that verse? Yes, right? What's a commandment? Can somebody explain to me what a commandment is? You know what a commandment is? Nope, you got to come here. You got to get your 2 minutes of fame. What's a commandment?
Something that someone tells you.
Something that somebody tells you to do? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
Very good. All right. Oh, Robert. Robert, I'll get back to you. You're doing good. Okay, I'll get back to you. Anybody else want to try? You come up. No. Come up here. Come here. Okay. What's your name?
My name is Benjamin Brown.
Hand off the mic. Got it? I'm in charge of the mic. What's a commandment?
A commandment is something that Jesus tells you to do.
Something that Jesus tells you to do. That's good, isn't it? Very good. You can sit down. Thank you. Now, a commandment is something that God tells us to do. It's not something he asks us to do. So if I said, Robert, would you do me a favor and put your arm down? He actually had the option of keeping it up because I just asked him. But if I said, Robert, put the arm down, that would be a commandment. God doesn't ask us to love our neighbor. God tells us, he commands us to love our neighbor. It's the greatest commandment. I'll get back to you guys if you be patient, okay? Oh, Robert has a question. Okay, Robert, what's your question?
Why are there eggs?
Are you trying to steal my thunder or what? You know, we have a room back there for boys like you. So I'll explain the eggs when we get there, all right? You think it's a story? Ooh, okay. Well, we'll see about that. Okay. Now, something else I was trying to teach your mom and dad is that there are different kinds of love. When we use the word love, we mean different things, right? How many of you love candy? Hey, let me see if I have some candy. Hey, don't look in here. All right. established the fact. These kids love candy. Right?
Yeah, but
okay.
I love God
now,
more.
Thank you. Whoa, Robert is a smart boy. Can you sit down for a minute? Like, on your... Down? Yeah. Now, how many of you love your mom?
Oh, boy. Okay. Now, you can put it down. By the way, Mother's Day is coming up, so give her something good. Okay. Now, when you say, I love candy, and you say, I love my mom, are you using the word love the same way?
No.
No, because you don't... Okay, double hand for Dad. Dads are cool. Okay, so we use the word love in different ways. I love candy, but you don't love candy like you love your mom or dad, right?
I love candy.
It's a different kind of love. So there's different words in the Bible for love, and the love that we've been talking about is called, you want to hear the big word? Listen, it's called agape love. Could you say agape?
Agape.
Say agape again. Agape. Agape love is what we've been studying. This is the highest kind of love in the Bible. It's greater than loving candy. It's even greater than loving your brother or sister. It's even greater than loving your mom or dad. It's the kind of love that God had in His heart when God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Listen, it says in Jesus said in the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That was love more than the love we have for candy, right? It's a love enough to die for you and me. So there's different kinds of love. Now, in this passage, I want to talk real quickly about the different kinds of love. It says here in 1 Corinthians 13, parents, this is a review. Open your Bibles. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Okay, this is a clock. Okay, I need you to be quiet. Okay. Love suffers long, okay? I want you to see if we can hear this clock tick. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
What? What? You didn't get any candy?
Pass it out.
Pass it out, dude. Okay. Guys ready? Guys ready? Let's see if we can hear this clock tick. Here, I'll set it here. I need you to be real quiet. Shh. Can't hear it?
No.
I can hear it.
You're right next to it.
The microphone's not on. Shh, now listen. Well,
I got you to be quiet, didn't I? Ha ha ha.
Love suffers long. I brought the clock to illustrate long because it's time. When we love somebody, we're patient. How many of you know what it means to be patient? Did your mom ever say, be patient? You know what my mom used to say to me when I was little? I would want something, you know, like I'd want to eat dinner. And she'd say, hold on to your horses. Isn't that a funny thing to say? Did your mom ever say that? I said, Mom, I don't have any horses. That means be patient, right? So to be long-suffering means to be patient, but it means something else. And this is really important. It means to be patient while somebody is really bugging you. Okay? Now, if your mom or dad ever had you in church and they said, sit still? Did they ever tell you to just sit still, be quiet? That ever happened to you? They want you to be patient, right? But what if you were sitting there trying to be patient and your brother kept on poking you in the ribs? That would be hard to do, wouldn't it? That would be really hard to do. So I thought maybe we would illustrate this. I need two volunteers. Adam Vaughn is one. Josh Wilson is the other. Don't worry, you'll get your turn. Adam and Josh. Adam and Josh, get up there. Okay, you can sit on this upper step. Who? Sit down. Who wants to get wet? Who wants to get wet? Josh wants to get wet. You are really lucky, Adam, that Josh wants to get wet. See, we have here our water guns, okay? Hey! Okay, now this is a great illustration of long suffering, because I'm going to tell Josh to sit still and to be quiet, which he can do. But while he's sitting there being quiet, Adam is going to shoot him in the head with a water gun. Go on, you have permission to shoot Josh in the head. See? Ha! We got him! We got him! Okay, you're dismissed. Hey, you're dismissed. Give me the weapons. There you go, Josh. Okay, this was a perfect illustration. Get back. Sit down, boy. No, over there. You'll get one, dude. Be patient. Okay, don't touch. To be long-suffering means not only are you patient, but while somebody's doing something that's annoying you, you're still patient and you don't retaliate. And we had a great illustration of retaliation. Retaliation is a big word, but you know what it means? It means when somebody squirts you, you squirt them back. Or if somebody hits you, you hit them back. Or if your brother or sister walks up and yanks your hair, you yank theirs back. That's retaliation. That is not being long-suffering.
That's getting even.
That's getting even, which is retaliation, which is not good. Love is patient, right?
It's like if they hit you, you don't hit them back.
That's right. You don't hit them back. You don't squirt back if they squirt you, right? Right, Robert? Okay, so I would be a fool to give you one of these. Do you realize that? Now, after church, when I'm way far away, I'll give you one so you can't shoot me. So love doesn't shoot back.
That means you'll have to throw it at me.
Okay. I need you to quiet down now, Robert. Okay. Love does not shoot back with the squirt gun. It does not retaliate. But what if somebody's doing something that just really driving you crazy, kind of bothering you? You're going to have to do what? You're going to have to forgive them. Okay? You're going to have to forgive those that are hurting you or being mean to you. And I have a great illustration of forgiveness. Yeah, I'm going to lynch some of these kids if they don't straighten up. All right, I need a few, three or four, two kids over here. No, Adam, not you. Come on. Two over here. I'm trapped down here. You got it? These two here. Now, don't hurt this pretty little girl. Hold the rope. You got it real tight? Go that way.
Uh-oh. Here we go, tug of war.
So if you pull the rope that way, now don't pull it too hard. Pull the rope. Go on, Brendan. Pull the rope that way. And then you pull the rope that way. Okay? How are they doing? Pretty good?
Good.
I think the boys are beating the pretty girls. Okay. Now don't let go yet. Stop. Hold on. But don't let go. You know what the word forgiveness means? Literally in the Bible? It means to let go. So here you are. Let me play the boys. So you're playing tug of war with the, honey, you need to move. You're playing, okay. The brown kid is a show off, see? So he's going to try to make the pastor look bad. But Brandon's going to, Come on, Brennan. We get him. We get him. Come on. Come on. Look, move. 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 Let go. Let go. Let go. Come on. Pull hard. Hard. Okay. Who won?
You.
I did.
Yeah, stop.
Because I let go.
You're supposed to try to make the other.
Okay, boys, I need you to sit down. And listen, Robert, you need to be quiet. You're going to the room back there. Now listen, that's the way it is. Somebody does something that's mean to you, and it hurts you, and it bothers you. And if you hold on to those bad feelings, it's like tugging. And you forgive them, and that means you're just going to have to let go. And you win. You win when you let go of being mad at your brother or sister. Right? Amen? So love, because it suffers long, forgives. Doesn't retaliate. It says love is kind. That means love does nice things to people and not bad things to people. It says here in 1 Corinthians that love does not envy. How many of you know the story of Joseph in the Bible? You know the story? Joseph had a coat of many colors, right? Had a really nice coat on. And his brothers were envious, the Bible says. Well, that's a big word. And you know what envy means? It means his brothers wanted what Joseph had. They wanted what Joseph had. But God didn't give it to them, did he? God gave it to Joseph. Right? But they were envious. I better not give that away yet. Okay. Love, it says in 1 Corinthians, did not parade itself. This is a great one. I think we need to illustrate this, don't you? Love does not parade itself. Now, how are we going to illustrate that? I need a couple volunteers, like maybe about... Okay, Jennifer, you. We'll have all girls come up. Boys, sit down. We'll just have some girls come up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm not sure if I got enough. Okay, come on up. Stay right there. Okay. Stop! Stop! Okay, now you got to wear this hat, okay? Can you wear this hat? Okay, take a hat. Just one. Got to put it on. Let me see if I got it. Oh, I got it. Man, where's my tech support up here? Who needs a hat? You need a hat? You got a hat on.
Four.
There you go. Everybody got one?
No, not me.
Sorry. There you go. How about you down there? You need a hat? Everybody, all the girls got hats. You want to come up? Are you a girl? You want to come up? No. Do you want to come up? No. Okay. Okay. Now, this is going to require group participation from the audience out here. Now, do you know what a commandment is? What's a commandment? So if I hand this to you and say, don't blow it, meaning don't blow on it, can you do that until I tell you? We'll see if they know what a commandment is. Okay, it's coming, it's coming. Hey, you. Who else needs one? Who needs one? Raise your hand. There you go. You need one? You need one? Everybody got one? You don't have one? Everybody got one? Okay, I need an adult to come up and lead the parade. Anybody want to volunteer? An adult. Carol Brown will lead the parade. What's that? You lead one every day? Let's give Carol a hand. All right. Why don't we just take them for a parade around the sanctuary?
Ready
to follow Carol?
Blow loud and hard.
I don't think they blow. They don't make noise, do they? Darn it. Yeah, I read the label and I couldn't tell. Follow the leader. This is the parade. March, 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 march. Go. March, march, march. Hut, two, three, four. Hut, two, three, four. Hut, two, three, four. Hut, two, three, four. Hut, two, hut, two. Here they come. The Liberty Marching Band. Give it up, ladies and gentlemen. All right, very good. Okay, very good. If you want to keep the hat and the party blower, you can. Go grab your seat. Go on, go grab your seat. Now, we just got an illustration of what a parade is, okay? Go on. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, you listening? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says love does not
parade.
It does not parade itself. So when you have a special gift, or maybe you have a talent, or maybe you're really smart, or maybe you're really good looking, or maybe you have nice things, you don't parade those things. You don't put them on. You don't walk around showing them off. You don't blow the party horn. And you don't parade them in front of other people. Right? Because the person who does that, the Bible says they are puffed up. If someone parades around, the Bible says they're puffed up. And Paul says love is not puffed up. Well, you know what I'm going to pull out of my little bag for being puffed up, don't you? What is it? A balloon. Okay. You'll get one. Hold on. I think I need some helpers up here. Okay. Wait a minute. If you want a balloon, you must be quiet. Because I need to explain what we're doing here. Okay. Balloon. See the size of the balloon? We're going to watch the balloon gets puffed up, right? So Cindy's going to help me. Cindy's my magic helper. Just pass them out. Pass them out. Somebody help. Now these are going to be hard to blow up. And don't ask me to blow them all up for you. Because I'll get a headache. Okay. Now you can try to blow it up, but it's probably going to be hard to do. You got to stretch them out. Oh. That didn't work. Let me try again. Oh, this one's long. Ooh, maybe I can do this one. We might say that this balloon represents a person. Okay, y'all listening? Shh. We might say this represents a person in their sane mind. Someone that's thinking appropriately about themselves. Hey, honey. Man, this is hard to do. I'm getting woozy. All right. Here, you got one blown up? I need your balloon. Don't let the air out. Can I have it? Ew, your slobber's all over my hand. All right. Here, let me see yours. Oh. So here's a balloon that's thinking right. This is a balloon that's proud, right? It's puffed up. And sometimes in our hearts, when we should look like this, in our hearts we really look like this because we think we're special. We think we're better than other people. And so we are puffed up, which means we think bigger of ourselves than we really are. And God doesn't want us puffed up, does he? He wants us humble, right? So how do you make a humble balloon? You let it go, right? And it goes back to its normal size. And God wants to pop your big balloon. Because God doesn't want us to be proud and puffed up, but he wants us to be humble. Humble. Okay, we're almost done. You hanging in there? You doing good? How they doing? Mom and dads, how they doing? They doing good? Okay.
Thank you.
Couple more. Couple more, and then we're going to be done. Paul goes on and says, love, after he says, love does not parade itself. Love does not, is not puffed up. He says, love does not behave unseemly. Okay, Adam Vaughn. You will be in a world of hurt if you don't stop. Now, unseemly is a big word. You know what unseemly means? Hey, I need you to listen to me. You, listen to me. To be unseemly means you do things that are gross. Yeah, you know what gross is, don't you? Okay? And when you watch cartoons now, and when you go to movies, even for families, they always have gross things in them, don't they? Now, I'm not going to mention what the gross things are because you all know what I'm talking about. Because if I told you what the gross things were, then I would be being gross. And that would be unseemly. So we don't talk about those things, and we especially don't do certain things in public, even though we see those things done in movies and cartoons and things like that, because they're not appropriate. They're unseemly. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? All right? So I don't need to go into that anymore. Another thing that that word unseemly means, the opposite is that you're respectful. You're respectful. And you should especially be respectful to your mom and dad. Right? Because the Bible says, Brendan, the Bible says, honor, Adam, do not do that again. Honor your mother and your father. And if you don't honor your mother and your father, then you're being unseemly. It's not appropriate to disrespect your mom and dad. All right? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Very good. Honor your father and mother. And the last one we're going to look at, it says, after it says, love does not behave rudely, love does not seek its own. Now, that's a hard one to understand. So I thought we'd illustrate this one. All right? Love does not seek its own. Now, since I let the girls parade, I'm going to let the boys do this one. I need 12 boys. Josh, I might make you. Why don't you wait and see if we got enough? Okay, how many we got? How many I give out? Three.
One.
Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Did you get one?
Not yet.
Nine. Okay. Ten.
I didn't get one.
11. 12. What we have here are some cool Spider-Man bags. Are those cool or what? Those are cool. I have taste, don't I? Okay. Now, kids, listen. Boys, listen. Hey, dude. Listen. In the sanctuary, there are 12 eggs. 12 Easter eggs. And on the count of three, you can go seek for the eggs. Ready? One, two, three. Adam, Vaughn, Till. I don't know where all the eggs are. I didn't hide them. I don't know. We find all the eggs. Who found an egg? If you found an egg, sit down. Sit over here if you found an egg. Some of them have more than one. Okay, how many do you have? Give me one. Dude, you got an egg. All right, sit down. Who's got it? Give me one. That's not an egg, that's an instrument. Okay, how many of you, is this one?
I don't.
You don't have one? Okay. How many you got?
Just one.
Sit down.
He doesn't got one.
He's got one now. Here you go, buddy, don't cry. Sit down, he's got one. Okay, everybody got one?
I don't have one.
How many you got? Who's got two?
Steven, I just one.
Okay, sit down. Who's got two? Hey, no, no, don't open it. No, no, stop. Don't open it. There you go. Do you have one? One, two, three, four. Okay, don't open the eggs. Wait a minute. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Okay, we only have 11 eggs. That means one egg is still missing. Is that right? There's 12 kids. Who doesn't have an egg? Okay, if you have an egg, sit down. Sit down. Okay, this guy needs an egg. There should be one more egg.
Steven has two.
Who?
One.
No, you got one, right?
Yeah.
Is there one over here?
No.
There was one over here.
Yeah, that one got picked up.
Okay. Where's the other egg? Sit down. Anybody know where the other egg is?
It's the instrument one.
No, that's not an egg. All right, where's the other egg? You don't know. You hid. It's over here. Ah, the egg.
Ooh, I got over there.
It's not yours. All right, sit down. It's an unruly crowd here. Okay, now, who's got the blue egg? Who's got a blue egg? Oh, let me see your blue egg. Open your blue egg. Not you, him. Shh. What's in there? What is it? There's a donkey in there. And that egg, that donkey was about when Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey. Brandon, cooperate. Thank you. And they all put their palms on the ground and they welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. They said, all hail King Jesus. He was the king, right? Well, they weren't really ready. Who's got light pink? Hold up your eggs. No, that's purple. Who's got light? Everybody hold your egg up.
I got pink.
Wait a minute. Everybody hold them up. Okay, open your egg. Shh, don't open them all. What do we got? Ooh, we got, what do we got, coins?
Money.
Because this egg represents the 30 pieces of silver. Judas betrayed Jesus. While Jesus was going into Jerusalem on a donkey, being hailed as the king, Judas was scheming with the Pharisees, and they gave him 30 pieces of silver so he would betray Jesus. Light purple. Who's got light purple? Light purple. Is that you? Who? Can you open it? There's something in there. It's wrapped up. What is it? Hurry. Hey, boys. Boys.
It's a
cup. Open it up. Open it up. Hurry. Okay, now for a commercial break. No, I'm just kidding. Ooh, cool. It's a chalice. It's a little cup. And this represents the Passover cup, or what we now call the Lord's Supper, because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had communion with his disciples. And it was at communion. Listen, It was at communion that Jesus gave them the bread and said, "This is my body." And he gave them the cup. And he says, "This is the blood of my covenant that's going to be shed for you." Orange. Let's see what we got in the orange. Who had purple? That was Adam's. And what we have in here is a pair of praying hands. You know why we have praying hands? Because Jesus... Listen. Praying hands because Jesus, after he had the Lord's Supper, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. And he said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And that's when he submitted himself to God to die on the cross for our sins. Green.
Hello.
Green. Who's got green? Thank you. Green, we have a leather whip. After, when Jesus was in the garden, Judas came and betrayed him for those 30 pieces of silver. Then the soldiers took him away and they began to beat him with a leather whip. Light yellow. There might be another yellow.
Yeah.
No, this. Yes, this is light yellow. And what we have here, kids, look.
The thorn of crowns.
No, the crown of thorns, but you got the idea. Who had that? So when Jesus was being beaten with the leather whip, another soldier came up and he took these thorns, big, thick thorns, and made them in a round shape, and he put them on the head of Jesus as if it was a crown, but he was making fun of Jesus because Jesus claimed to be a king. Mom, we need to get this under control. Someone's getting electrocuted. Yellow. Yes. Yellow. These are nails in the shape of a cross. Because when Jesus was placed on the cross, some of the other men who were crucified with him were actually tied with ropes. But when Jesus was on the cross, they used real nails. And they put the nails through his hands and through his feet. And that's how they hung him on the cross, with nails, right? Light green. Light green. Let's see what we got. Yep. What's this?
Dice.
You know why there's a dice in here?
I know.
Why?
He's got to gamble for his.
You have dice? Good. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the soldiers who were sitting there waiting for him to die took out dice and they gambled to see who was going to get his garments. Purple. Are you purple? Here you go. Let's see what you got. Yes, what we have here is a spear. What happened when Jesus was on the cross? Remember? What?
A Roman soldier stabbed him in his side and water and blood came.
Yes. He was hanging on the cross and they wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead, so they took a long spear and they stuck it in his side to make sure he's dead. And when they did, blood and water came out of his side, and that showed that he was truly dead on that cross. And that's important. Cream color, kind of a light yellow here. Is that it? Oh, yes. We have a piece of cloth. You know. Adam. What?
After.
Shh. Go on. Okay, what about the cloth?
I know.
Wait a minute.
Somebody cleaned up
the blood with the cloth. Okay? When Jesus came down off of the cross, it says they wrapped his body in linen cloths, okay? They wrapped his body in linen cloths before they buried it. And the pink, where's the pink one? Pink egg. Who's got the pink egg? Pink egg. Look in your bag, boys. Who's got the pink egg? Who? He does. Pink egg. Ooh, this is a cool one. Big stone. You know what that's for, don't you? Because you know where Jesus was buried? He wasn't buried in the ground like we bury people today. He was buried in the side of a stone mountain, and they rolled a giant stone in front of the tomb because they didn't want Jesus to get out. Right? Light blue. Let's see. You got it? This one is the best thing of all. You know why? Because when you open it, there's nothing in there. So Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. He was truly dead. He was buried. A giant stone was placed so he couldn't get out. And yet, 3 days later, when they went to the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. Where did Jesus go?
He is risen.
Amen? Amen. Jesus is risen, which means Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive today. Now I'm going to conclude. I know it's been long and you've been very good. Haven't they been very good tonight, all the kids? And before you leave, I'm going to reward you with some more sugar. Yes. But listen, no. Okay, wait. Hold on. We're not done. I got to say one more thing, then we're going to go. Shh, shh, listen. Shh. Okay, sit down. If you want candy, sit down. Okay, he doesn't want candy. Okay. Now, listen. You're a smart boy. Now, the reason I use the eggs, and I want you all to hear me, this is very important. Hey, boys, I need you to listen now, okay? Or mom's going to have to split you apart. Listen. Because when you were hunting for those eggs, you were seeking something for yourself. You were hoping maybe there was candy in there, or maybe there would be money in there. You were seeking. But the Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross, when Jesus died on that cross, when Jesus was buried in that tomb from which he rose, Jesus was not seeking anything for himself. Jesus was seeking you. Jesus died on the cross because of his great love for you. And that's what love is. Not doing things for yourself. Not doing things to get attention. Not doing things because you think you're better than other people. Not doing things because you're mad. But doing things for the benefit of other people. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? Amen. And so before we close, I want all you kids to be quiet. And I want you all to close your eyes now. Close your eyes. If they're not cooperating, I need a mom and dad to... Okay, I need you to close your eyes now. We're going to pray a prayer. And some of you may have already asked Jesus into your heart, but if not, I would like you to do it tonight. Okay? Close your eyes, honey. Because Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, and he's alive, and he'll come and live in your heart if you ask him to. And you pray a real simple prayer. You say, "Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior." If you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he will, because he loves you. And then when he's in your heart, he will fill your heart with love so that you can love others the way the Bible tells us. Lord, we want to thank you for your great love. The greatest example of love of all is giving us your son, Jesus. And I pray that everyone here, the children and the adults alike, that everyone here would receive your love into their hearts by receiving Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a people who walk in love because we walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ. We thank you for these little ones, Lord. Call each by name. Fill them with your spirit. Lord, just grace all the parents here to raise them in your ways and for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, who wants some more candy? Yeah. For pastors so loved the church.